Father, I just thank you for this body of Christ. I thank you that we are a loving family, Lord, and that, Father, we enjoy fellowshipping with one another, that we enjoy coming together, Lord, and worshiping you, glorifying you, praising you, and recognizing you in each one of us. Father, together we form this part of the body of Christ, Lord. And I just appreciate every one of the persons in this room that you have joined to me and I to them, Lord, that we can be one body and glorify you. I lift up your word today, Lord, as we're about to speak about some things, Lord. And I ask for your revelation to ignite the hearts of the hearers, not only in this room, but on the DVD or the CDs that go out and listen to this. But, Father, that your revelation will ignite the hearts of your people, Lord Jesus, that this word, Father, can go forth, Father, and transforms lives, that each one of us can have a joyful expectation of your return with strength and boldness and confidence, Lord, that each one of us, Father, would be able to stand in the tribulations and the trials that we face on a day-to-day basis so that you can be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? I want to talk about something that I've talked about a little bit in different groups I've been in a part of, and I've shared with you guys a little bit, but I want to go into more depth since I have you for a whole, however long we are together here, a few minutes. So I really want to share something. Now, it's not going to be the fullness of it. We're just going to touch the surface, but it's my hope that it ignites something inside of each one of us, and we'll research it a little bit more. Amen. And then in future times that I get to be here, I'll share it even more. But something happened to me, and it really has impacted my life. How many of you have had a near-death experience? It touches you to the core of your existence, doesn't it? It really does. It changes things. I remember one time I had a little house, and I was laying in bed, and somebody broke into the house while I was in bed. And they had started stealing all my stuff and piling it up at the back door and at the front door. And they had all these little piles of all my things in the house. And got woken up, went out to go see what it was, and somebody was in my house stealing my things. They ran out of the door so fast, couldn't see who they were, but that unknowing of who that was, whether it's just some punk kid or a professional burglar or what the case may be, I'll tell you what, that was such an uneasy time in my life. It affected me to the core of my being significantly. Well, I have had something else like that happen to me just recently. Thank God it's not anybody robbing me or anything like that. But I had a dream. And how many of you know that you can have a dream from the Lord? You can have an open vision, right? You can have a night vision, or you can just be standing there and revelation just comes to you. But I had this dream, and it has so affected me. The more that I read the Bible, the more that it just unfolds inside my heart, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I can't deny it. And so I want to share it with you because in the past months, it has changed my perspective on being a Christian. It has changed my perspective a little bit. And it has given me a hope that I didn't realize really significantly before. Amen? So shall I share what the dream was, and then we'll go into the Word? So in this dream, I've shared it with y'all, I think, before, but I'm going to say it again. I was asleep in bed with my wife, and I was in the middle of a dream. And in this dream, there was a sofa in front of me, and I'm standing up like I'm standing up to Pastor Trey right now, and there was a woman sitting here. Amen? And the light was shining in across her face, and I can see it, just like the sunlight would shine in any window. Nothing abnormal about it at all. And as I'm talking to this woman, these other people that are sitting there are listening. And as I'm talking to this woman and sharing, the way I get excited and start sharing things, all of a sudden, it just started getting brighter and brighter in the room. But it wasn't sunlight. And it wasn't incandescent light. It was another kind of light. And it started getting so bright, and I started getting goosebumps up and down my arms and on my whole body. And this radiant glory started bursting out of my chest. And the woman sitting there goes, "What's happening? What's happening?" I said, "The Lord, he's coming right now." And I got so excited on the inside of me. And I remember in my dream, it was so weird to be that excited. I couldn't comprehend how excited I really was. And as this glory just kept getting brighter and brighter inside of me, and she's there, and she's seeing it too, getting brighter and brighter, the presence of the Lord, I could feel him getting closer and closer and closer and closer as it was getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Well, I believe, well, as I woke up from that, I was so disappointed it was a dream. I was so disappointed that it was a dream because I still felt that glory radiating from my torso, from my chest right here. And I'll tell you, I woke up and I just went, oh. But it did something to me. Now, as I'm reading the Bible, I'm seeing more and more and more. As I had the dream, I was dumbfounded that I was that excited about what was going on. I was just dumbfounded. And then last night, as I was in my bottle, I was going to talk about something else. But I must have read five books of the Bible last night, just looking at some stuff. And I thought, I better share this. So turn with me real quick. And let's just look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to focus on verse 13, but let's go in verse 12. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Catch up if you're not there yet. It is 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. I experienced that exceeding joy. Now, I got to be honest with you, I did not think that's the kind of reaction I was going to have. I honestly thought, and I'm just being real with, you know, I walk this thing out just like you do. I'm a man walking it out and learning as I go. Just some of us are a little further in the line than others, but we're all in the line, hallelujah. And I honestly was concerned with whether or not I was walking holy enough. I was honestly concerned, not like wringing my hands worried, but you know, it just kind of hits you in the back of your mind, you know. Are you really pressing in enough? Are you really being godly enough? Am I really sharing it genuinely with other people, or am I holding back some? You know, those kind of things get us. Even though we're not under the law, that's the reality of what we're walking in as we're being renewed, right? And so I kind of thought, well, am I really being holy enough? Am I really living godly enough? But I want to let you know something to comfort you. It comforted me. When he starts getting closer and the glory starts getting brighter, the way we think now disappears. Amen. I'm letting you know, it just disappears. It fades away. The way that we're rationalizing things and analyzing things, it dissolves. It completely just dissolves away. His glory, his presence, his light, his life has its own way of thinking, which is Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, when the light got brighter, it became the new reality. It became the new number one. And the life that I was living before without this glory just radiating from me, my number one was being with y'all, praying in tongues, reading my Bible, tithing, praying for the sick. That was my number one. But that stuff fades to the background as this new thing rises up, which is the mind of Christ, which is the presence of God. And it becomes a new life that we live. Amen? Look in your Bible on 2 Peter. Look right over here. In 5, since you're there real quick, look at 5 verse 1. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 5 verse 1. I'm just going to hit a few of these things just to reinforce this, that it's all throughout the Bible. It's everywhere. But I, like maybe some of you, haven't emphasized it in my walk, because I'm caught up in day-to-day how I'm living. Good. I'm just letting you know. And so that's the trap of the devil to some degree. To some degree, it's righteous in the Holy Spirit. But some degree, it's a trap too. So look at this, what it says here in 1 Peter 5, 1. The elders, this is my thing titled Shepherd of the Flocks. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am the fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Amen? There's a glory that will be revealed that I think I got a taste of in that dream. You know, it says we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and I always thought it was going to be like a leprechaun, pop, and you're just gone. It's not like that. In a moment, the chain reaction starts, and there's no going back. It's just instantly, just so instantly, when he starts coming, it's on. There's nothing you can do about it. We're not in charge of that. When his life starts coming upon us, it overtakes us, you guys. It literally overtakes us. And we have nothing to do with it in that capacity. There is something we can do about it now. But in that capacity, once it starts, it's on. You're done. You're changed just like that. And his life becomes your life. More so than what we're experiencing now. And it says that we are partakers of the glory that will be revealed. Now, go to 2 Peter. I've used this verse a lot, but it has more impact on me now than it ever has before. I started out just going to start talking about that we add to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge and to our knowledge self-control. And I was going to really focus on the self-control part because that's really where most of the people that I know get tripped up. Because we're the center of our world. And everything they're talking about in salvation, it deals with the self-control issue. It's the pivoting point of us being able to actually walk in phileo and in agape, which is brotherly love and then godly love. It's the pivoting point from our attention on ourself and getting control of ourself and dominating ourselves to walking in that love. And I was going to teach on that. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me stop with that, you guys. Look at this in verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me just start in 16 just so y'all know what we're talking about. This is Peter. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Remember that? The story of them on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James, and John, and they were all there when the cloud came. And the voice spoke out of heaven, and Moses and Elijah were there, and Jesus turned bright white with the light that is beyond white. His clothes were like whiter than a fuller's soap, and I guess that's really Clorox white, you know? And they were all there, shaken in their boots while this was taking place. So they personally witnessed it with their eyes and ears. They were there when it happened. And this is what he says in verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Okay, I'm getting these bumps in, I guess I'm telling you. I'm getting so turned on. If I just take off right now, grab me by the ankles and come with me. All right, it'll be a fun ride. Listen, all of us have that to look forward to if we don't expire before the Lord comes, right? If this flesh can endure until he comes again, all of this have this to, and I don't even know that if you make the transition, if it doesn't happen there, I don't know. But it doesn't say clearly in the Bible. But here it says that if we're walking on the earth, we use this word right here in the way that it's revealed to us, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, layers of an onion, the revelation comes, that his revelation is the one he gives him and he shares it. The revelation I get, I share. The revelation Fred gets, he shares. The revelation Julia, Ellen, or Barbara, any of us share, we get, right? And we get layers of it. So no one of us has the corner market on the revelation that's in this. And the verses that are revelation today, but the other ones that aren't tomorrow, they will be. And we can get different layers of revelation as we keep growing deeper and deeper. Because here's the thing. Everything's one. It's all one. And so it's all going to come down to God. Just that's the answer. God. And everything's going to just reveal right down to that. But When that morning star is raised in each one of our hearts, I believe that is what was beginning in me during that dream. It was becoming the life. Now, God has been promising the whole time that he was going to do this to us. Amen. Have you guys read about the day of the Lord? The capital D, day of the Lord? Look at it in your Bible and just kind of search it out again. Zephaniah talks about it. Malachi talks about it. A lot of the New Testament talks about it. A lot more of the Old Testament talks about it. There's a common denominator in all of it. And what is that? It's a great and a terrible day. It is a great and a terrible day. That's the truth. Let's go to Thessalonians real quick. You know, I've always used these verses a lot because I like them. But I'm telling you, they are just coming more and more and more alive to me. To where, oh my gosh. Okay, that's in the T's, right? Timothy, Titus, and Thessalonians. All five of those T's are together. Let's start in 1, in chapter 5, and then we're going to go to 2 is where I want to focus on. But chapter 5 of 1, it talks about what? The day of the Lord, right? So let's look at this for a second, because I don't think we really give it the impact and the significance that it deserves in our walk. And if we would, it will really jazz us up quite a bit in our day. It'll really jazz us up because... Can I say this? God is so good. And what he does in us is so phenomenal. We get stuck on the little stuff of judging ourselves on how we're doing and how other people are doing. And I got to tell you, it is a mind trap. And we have it so good in God. And we don't realize it. Because guess what? We have nothing to do with his goodness. We have nothing. He does it because he's good, not because we deserve it. And if we have time, I'll show you that. When he took the children of Israel in Numbers, I'm telling you, he says, it's not because of your righteousness. I'll just tell you now. It is not because of your righteousness. I am going to go before you like a consuming fire and destroy your enemies. And I'm going to give you this land, God says. And it's not because you're so great or all that. Because you're actually very stiff-necked people and you're hard to get along with. But because I'm so good, I'm going to do it. Because they're worse than you are. So they lose it and you get it by default. Listen, we haven't done anything to deserve this glory that we have for all eternity, but it is rightfully ours by the goodness of God. That's a fact, and we should have great expectation for that every single day, because any day you can burst into glory. Just burst into glory like the Mount of Transfiguration. Any one of us could. But we have to realize that that's really the truth of the day that we are waiting for, that we are really expecting and looking forward to. That's our real life, you guys. We're all in. We're all in. We're going to make it. He's going to do it to all of us. Every one of you that has said, Jesus, come into my heart and read your Bible and is a Christian and knows you are and has the Spirit of God in you, you are absolutely going to burst into glory and walk even as he is. That's a fact, Jack. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Thessalonians 5. 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Whoa! What? Oh, no! He's coming. I'm never going to know when he's going to come. Oh, no! Am I ready or not? Let's read on. That is unnecessary anxiety. Absolutely unnecessary anxiety. Let's read on. I'll show you why. Comes as a thief in the night. Verse 3. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. They ain't going nowhere. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You're going to know when it's coming. You're going to absolutely know when it's coming. Just like I did in that dream. All of a sudden I said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I felt it. It was happening. It was reflecting in me his glory getting closer. I'm going to tell you a secret after we're all done here. Remind me to tell you the secret, okay? Can I do it now? All right. All right, I'm going to tell it to you, but we're going to have to confirm it in the Word. Here's the secret. Christ in you is your hope of glory, you guys. I'm telling you what, that glory that we're going to burst in you is Christ in you. Listen, you're not getting it yet. It's Christ in you and in me. So when he comes and I see him as he is, I'm seeing me in him and him in me. Does that make sense? So when he's coming, he's going to see all of us go and go, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. And we are all going to go, when we look at him and he starts coming in his glory, we're going to, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. And I'm going to be as he is. The amount of glory that he comes in is the amount I'm going to rise to. Because it's him, the fullness of him. So it has nothing to do with me. I'm the bulb, not the wattage. That's the truth. He's the wattage. He determines how bright I shine by his presence, which is his life, right? And the closer he gets, the more I'm going to shine like him. Listen, he is so much, he holds back so that we can enjoy his presence. Until one day, we can walk in that unapproachable light also. Right now, in this condition, we can't walk in that unapproachable light. That's why Moses has had to have his face covered. He had to put his hands over there and just let him see his little fanny as he passed by. That's the truth. Doesn't it say that? That's all. Huh? Huh? Backside. Where's your backside? My mama said... My mama spanked me on my backside. I just want to let you know. But anyway, it's the tail end of his glory, right? It was as he was passing by, however you want to see it. Anyway, so let's go on. It says, where was I at? In verse 4? And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should come and overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. We are of the day. So when that day dawns, it's our day. It is our day to shine. Literally. Go a little further. Turn it over to chapter 2. I'm going to do a little bit of reading in chapter 2 so that I can set the stage, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm sorry. I am, you guys. I'm telling you, I am so lit up, I can't even hardly take... Yeah, you know what? That's all right, because my charge will wake up your little charge, and together we'll balance out, right? So I want each one of you to get a light inside of you on this revelation that it just starts growing and growing and growing. Because I'll tell you what, my hope has changed. I'm not looking for how many people I can get into the kingdom of God. I'm not looking for how many people can get healed, although I absolutely want that. But you know what? And I'm not looking at how to purify myself even more and get cleaner because I know I'm going to be just like him. I'm really enjoying him. You know why? Because I get all of it. I get all of it. So do you. And when I saw how enthusiastic you get, I'm telling you, exceeding joy is just going to, I'm telling you, that's going to be your dominant factor that you're going to be recognized by. Just this exuberant joy of the Lord himself. Because you know what? It's not our laborious actions. It's not our truancy. It's not our hunkering downness. It's none of that. It's a gift, hallelujah. And we didn't earn it and we can't wreck it. It's coming. I'm telling you, he's going to get every one of you when he comes. You're not going to get away from it. Just like the evil guys aren't going to get away from it yet. It's happening to you. I just want to let you know. Amen. Starting in verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abound towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that endure. I want to encourage you, just pause for a moment, keep your finger there. It's the end of 4, we're going to start on 5. The tribulations that we're all facing, maybe other people giving us a hard time, but we need to take it patiently, and God sees all. If you get, what's the right word? If you have persecution because you're a Christian, just hold on to it. God sees it all, and he's going to reward you for that. You're going to have a better reward because you're suffering for Christ. I mean, you're being a righteous, holy, loving, generous person that speaks in honesty with integrity, and they are demeaning you because of that, or fighting you, or hurting you, and suffering you are, Jesus will make up the difference. I promise. Just bear it patiently. Jesus will make up the difference for you. That's a fact. He promises in his word. But if you're doing evil and you're suffering, it's your fault. It's just your fault, because you're not walking according to Christ. You're walking according to your natural nature and self-imposed regulations. You're doing that to yourself. So guess what? No reward for that. Your life just sucks. That's just the way it is. I'm being honest with you. But that's the tribulation. The whole tribulation that we're walking out is to stop worrying about us.
That's right. Amen.
We got our attention on one thing and one thing alone. And it's like a tube. You look at one end and you see out of the other. That is this. Jesus Christ is all in all. Two, we love people through Christ. All we are is the tube, the vessel. We are not the operator nor the recipient. We are the conduit. That's it. Because listen, you're going to get the full load. You're going to get all the glory. You're going to get all the life. You're going to get all the light. You get the inheritance, which is the fullness of his spirit. You get it. So don't worry about that. Now let other people come into the kingdom of God, because it is a terrible day for them if they don't have the Spirit of God in them. Just like there's nothing you can do to stop his glory from coming because you have the Spirit of God in you, there's nothing they can do to get the Spirit of God in them. But he's going to turn them over to a delusion before he comes, and he's going to cement them in the way that they think before he comes. Because his goodness and his glory is so great that everybody will repent as soon as he starts showing up. Everyone will change their mind because it's so wonderful. So he gives us over to ourselves and hardens our hearts, not us, them, before he starts coming. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
We can read that if you want. It's in 2 Thessalonians. But let's finish here in verse 5. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffered, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. That's a good thing. David prayed that all the time. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Don't stop there. Read on. Verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two different groups of people. 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Verse 10, when he comes in that capital D day, this is the day of the Lord, to be glorified where?
In his saints,
in you and me. He is coming to burst us into Mount Transfiguration glory, the same glory that he has. You've read it in Revelations. His eyes shine like fires. His feet are like bronze, right? He is whiter than fuller soap. The radiant splendor, lightning comes forth from him, right? The sun and the moon flee away from his face. That's how much glory he's walking in. And he tones it down right now, but he's going to turn it full up, and you and I are going to be just like he is, full glory. So much so, the world's not going to be able to handle it, you guys. All that they live by, the rules they live by, the intellect that they live by, the whole mentality of this age is going to fade away to nothing because it's not real. It may be what we're jointly experiencing, but it's not eternal. It has no real power. It's all temporary, because when he comes, it's going to disappear. Amen. It's not worth it. So let's go on. I'm going to start in 10 again. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. 11. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jump over one chapter. Look in verse 13 of chapter 2. And if you're interested in it, if you'll just read in chapter 2, you'll see what I mean about him hardening their hearts so they can't change their mind when he comes again. It's right there in chapter 2. But let's go up to verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through what? Sanctification by what? The Spirit and belief in the truth. Here we are, verse 14. To which he called you by our gospel for what? The obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that's the whole plan, you guys. That's his original plan. Adam didn't mess it up like so many suppose. He needed a Savior just like everybody else. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And every evil thing will be completely done away with. Every evil thing. Go with me over to 1 John real quick. I've got so much that I can cover and share with you, but I'm just going to hit the highlights. And I want you to look in your own Bible as you read about this. Because I'll tell you what. This is really good news. This is really, really good news. 1 John chapter 3. Starting in verse 2 and 3. Ready? And we begin. Beloved, now we are children of God. When? Right now we're children of God. Fullness. Does that mean if we're the children of God, guess what? His glory is going to burst into flames in each one of us because we're the children of God. Amen. Hey, that's a fact. Listen, it's a done deal for us. So we are in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. I didn't know until I had that dream, and that's just the beginning. It was just like, you know, you put the Kool-Aid into the water and you start to stir it. You know, it starts turning red, but it's not totally red yet, or purple or green. And it's just starting to take the color. That's all I got a taste of. I never saw the fullness of it. I only got to feel the beginning. It's just starting to happen. So we don't know what the fullness we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, manifested, openly shown to you and me, we shall be what? Like him. Hallelujah! For we shall see him as he is. Seeing him is what transforms us. I'm telling you, it is just done. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's the tribulation we go through, you guys, purifying ourselves. Letting go of the worry, the anxiety, the doubt, the insecurity, the selfishness, the greed, lust. We can lust for all kinds of things, you guys. Covetousness, all that stuff is as we let go of that. That's the tribulation that we're suffering, to let go of that stuff. and to walk as he is. Because if we know who he is and we're going to be just like him when we see him, then we know that that glory, that full transfiguration, morning star experience is what we have to look forward to. We can let go of everything else.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with us in the kingdom of God. It's just foolishness. It's just dullness. It's a waste of time. It's just a massive amount of mediocrity sucking you in like quicksand. That's all it is. When we realize that that's who we are, everybody's fair game to bring them into the kingdom of God. Because I guarantee you, they don't realize it. Everyone's fair game. Because it's not about, oh, let me tell you about Jesus. He died for your sins. That is true. And that's a big deal for you and me, but not to the world. That's not a big deal to them. They've been hearing so many stuff. They've seen so many Christians in church. They have had parents and grandparents that are Christians. And all they do is beat them over the head with the Bible. They want the real stuff. They want the people that are really walk, that can show them the reality of the kingdom of God. And you and I can, because here's the thing. More glory, Lord. Reveal more glory, Lord. Let the reality of your glory just overtake me, Father. Let me walk in your light, Father. I pray that as I lay hands on people, your glory just is emanating from me into them, and they can experience it too. More life, Lord. More eternal life, Lord. Let's really turn up the wattage in ourselves and in each other. Amen? For the world, not for ourselves only. Let's go to Ephesians. I really shared with you that in Numbers, God had promised that he was going to reveal his glory to the whole world. His whole world is going to be bathed in his glory. And I'll tell you what, in the Old Testament, they show his glory as fire. That's how it is. So when he burns up the whole world, it's going to be because of his glory that overtakes this world. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the reality that you and I have to walk in. It's a hope we look forward to, right? We have faith. We believe God that that's going to happen to us when we see Jesus. That's what we're leaning towards. That's what the whole thing is, our anchor of our soul. It's not whether we're going to witness to people, get people healed, become more prosperous, operate in more spiritual gifts. Although all of that is a byproduct of what we have. But none of it is number one. Number one is Jesus Christ. Straight up. Number one. That we and he are one. That everything he is, you and I are also. It's been given to us already. But now, knowing that we have that, we can start walking it out because we have the deposit. We have a down payment of the Spirit, do we not? So we can use that down payment right now. I want to look in Matthew 16 real quick. I'll just look and I'll read it to you. In Matthew 16. I'm going to Ephesians. I just want to read one thing. Matthew 16. Look at this. It says, nope, that's not it. I wrote down the wrong verse. Never mind. Darn it. That was a good verse. Anyway. All right. In Ephesians chapter 1. Lord, you're good. You know, I was reading all over the Bible about the day of the Lord, how it's a good day for us, but a really bad day for the world. Do you know what? That's a very real day. It's a very real day that we all have real excitement to look forward to. But at the same time, like Paul said, he says, you know what? We need to really appeal to people. Because if they don't have the Spirit of God in them, there's absolutely no hope left for them. None. Because it'll be too late when he starts showing up. You know, I heard that as a kid, but it never meant anything like it does now. Now I understand what it is that glory is going to overtake us. It is him himself. Are you in Ephesians chapter 1? Let's go down to verse 17. I think you guys are very familiar with this. But all in this Ephesians, it says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, that our Father is the Father of glory, right? That's who he is, the Father of glory. That is that radiant splendor, right? That is his viewpoint and his opinion, his way of looking at things and his radiant splendor. So the mind of Christ and that radiant sun, noonday light. Amen. Verse 17. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what?
Glory,
may give to you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. He wants you to understand what it is. Which is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Where? That's in you and in me. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I've read that a million times and it had some impact, but it means so much more now that we would really understand that we are called to his glory. That's what we're all called to. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked, what? In Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Holy Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what you get. That's what I get. That's the full. Is this sinking into anybody?
Yes.
Am I the only one? I'll tell you, my fuse is lit. I got to tell you. It is lit. And it is all over the Bible. It is absolutely everywhere in this book to where it is all, you know, how many of us can say it's all Jesus, right?
Right.
It is all Jesus. But how many of us disqualify ourselves from being all that he is because of dot, dot, dot? Fill in the blank. Say whatever you want to say. Do you have a reason why you're not walking in the fullness of God? Don't tell me if you do. I don't want to hear it. I don't want your junk to be in my heart or my junk to be in your heart, my considerations to be your considerations or vice versa. But I just want to tell you, you're wrong. Whatever you're saying is the reason, you're letting it be the reason.
Yes.
But the truth is, if we have a revelation, Father, I just pray that you just give each one a revelation of this truth of your glory in us, Lord, that we stop trying to feel for it. We stop trying to discover it. And we just let it be true and love people and let your power flow through us into others, Lord. Give us a revelation to rest, Father, in your goodness. That we get to be like you just because you're that good. You did it all, Father. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We just accept it, Lord. And we say thank you. Father, because of it, we have a heart of worship and adoration towards you because you're doing it for us, Lord. Father, I ask that you would remove from the hearts and the minds of this people and all that can hear my voice of any self-effort, Father, of any trying to qualify, Lord, of any hindrance or impedance that we place upon ourselves or that others have obligated us to and placed on us, and we believed them, Lord. And we're trying to work our way out of it and be better or be more or be less or something, Lord. Father, I ask for the revelation in each one of us of your rest that this is simply true. And that we would just let you be God to us, Father. And share enthusiastically this with other people so that they can come to know you also, Father. And thank you for baptizing us in your spirit and giving us spiritual gifts, Father, so that we can show the kingdom of God to men while we walk on this earth, Lord. It's all you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions? I'm going to kind of stop right here because I can go a lot more, but I think your cart is full. You know what? I have a hard time falling asleep sometimes. My wife may say, but to me it feels like I do. I'll tell you what, let this sink in and let this really do your own research and see if I'm off base. But I'm telling you what, the Lord is showing us that on that great and terrible day, we get the full meal deal, 100%. So much so that when he burns them up, it says in Malachi, from his glory, from the flames, and we are ministers of fire. We're going to be ministers of fire. It says his ministers are flames of fire in Malachi, right? And that when the great and terrible day of the Lord comes and all of them become ashes because of his fire and his glory, being so bright that we can contain the glory, they can't. They can't. They don't have the vessel to do it. They don't have the deposit of his spirit, so they can't. So it burns them up. And it says, we're going to walk on their ashes. We're going to walk on their ashes, and all of it's going to be ours. Then the earth is going to be restored in righteousness. It's going to be all burnt up, but those flames aren't going to affect us. We're going to walk in that glory, amen, as a new heaven and a new earth is constructed. Isn't that wonderful? And we're going to walk in righteousness for all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, I better slow it down a little bit. Amen.
Just to take that as our armor, and, you know, just arm ourselves with God and just go into those dark places as his light, no matter what's being slung at us, and we'll emerge victorious. And those who decide to seek us out for help or guidance or light or, you know, leading toward revelation will come, and we may have to leave others behind.
Amen. We may. Listen, one quick second, you two. I'll come back to you. Here's what's so wonderful about it. We didn't earn it, and we don't deserve it. They don't earn it either. And when we can realize that we can be our same old selves, and the Lord is still going to transform us because he loves us so much, because his spirit is in us, and we stop looking at the flesh as to whether or not we qualify, that is good news to them, because then they don't have to look at their stuff, and you don't have to tell them about their stuff. You can just tell them that this is available for all eternity. And I'll tell you what, you brought up a very good point, Liz. This Bible is very clear to say that there are going to become mockers in the end times going, well, where is he then? Where is he? People have been promising this for generations. Where is he then? And don't get swept up by that, because what will happen is if you get caught up into that dialogue and all, it could sway your heart to not be vigilant, praying, watchful, for the day can come at any moment. We need to stay clean and sharp so that we have confidence, so that we can have real confidence. Our consciences are clear because we're just like him. Amen. If we're doing things that are dulling our conscience down and bothering us in our hearts, the Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Wash your hands, you sinners. Stop doing that. And if you're double-minded, stabilize your heart so that you have confidence in the day of the Lord when he comes. Amen? That's for each and every one of us. If only we can convey how good it's going to be. If only we can convey it. Betty. I know. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm saying what's going to happen when it happens. Now, I was standing in a room with a woman and it started happening. Who knows, in 5 seconds further, I could have been shooting up. I don't know. Like I said, you pour the Kool-Aid in the jug. All I know is I see it's red and it's starting to go at the bottom. I haven't stirred it up yet. That's all it was. It was just the start. Okay? It was only the start of it happening. So maybe we can go up. Maybe we just burst into flames in the glory of God. Maybe other things. You got something? Scott? Yes.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, the darkness, the deep dark, the utter darkness will cover the earth, and the deep darkness of the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles will come to your light,
amen,
and the kings to your brightness, and to your rising.
Again,
we've
got scripture today as confirmation.
It's a purpose of glory. He doesn't do anything halfway.
There is a purpose to the glory. We may not have it fully executed in our lives, but we can walk in that right now. Because I'll tell you, when we burst in it fully, there aren't going to be any kings or kings' kids anymore. They're all going to be gone. All of them. It's going to be us on the ash. And then a new heaven and a new earth will. Because it says in Peter, it doesn't say the whole earth is going to dissolve, even the atmosphere and the air. It's all going to be dissolved away when he comes. I'm telling you, it is. That glory is so bright. Listen, the sun and the moon flee from his face. He is the light of heaven. There'll be no shadows, no darkness. Why? Because we're all going to be just as bright, and it's his light. He will get all of our glory because we will know it's all him and none of us. And we get it all. And we didn't do anything but believe him. And we get it all. Praise God. Betty?
Then I think what we're saying here is that it's a period of time before the rapture.
Possibly. I don't know. I don't know. I only know that it's real and it's true. Now, I don't want to get caught up into trivial pursuit, whether it's post, pre, mid. Listen, whenever it is, you guys, we're going to go with it. Listen, when he returns, we're going to go with him. Wherever he goes, we get to go too. Hallelujah. When that foot touches Mount Olive and it splits between the north and the south to the east and the west and creates a cant, we get to be a part of it all. We may not be in Jerusalem when it happens, but we'll be just as bright as he is while it's happening.
Amen.
Oh. It is. It is really, really on, you guys. Amen. So I'll tell you, I want to get a little more of this and envelop it a little bit more, but I believe that, listen, Jesus is coming. We may have a little time yet still, but that's the time, listen, that's the time, listen, this society that we live in needs us desperately. And Christians have been non-combative, non-confrontational, even to the point of being a doormat and suffering in silence. Because this world, of all of its agendas, are just bulldozing the meek little subtle quiet Christians. Listen, enough is enough. The Lord is coming back in such power and such might with vengeance on the wicked that he's going to put an end to it all. Speak up now. The world needs us to stand up. The world needs us to be the single loudest, most pointed, black and white, unchanging truth that is non-negotiable. They don't have that. They don't have it, and it frightens them.
Yes.
It really does. But it says that we overcome the devil how?
By the blood
of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and not loving our own life, even if they kill us when we stand up for the Lord. Because he is going to, listen, he is going to repay us so much more in glory than anything we could ever suffer in the natural. Telling you, but you got to know it's true. And with the president that we have now, people are really worried about this kind of stuff. The time that we're in is a time to shine.
Yes.
No matter how it goes in the next few months, now is the time to really shine.
Right.
And take the pressure off of yourself so you don't put it on other people either.
Amen.
Listen, we're going to burst into glory. It's just going to happen. They will too if they're in the sonship, if they're in the kingdom. Pastor? Did you have your hand up? Who had their hand just up? Oh. All right.
Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen. And Peter says, the weight of glory. Amen. I'm telling you, it is really exciting. But I don't think we've been really focusing on how great it's really going to be. All right, I love y'all. You're dismissed. God bless you.